following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the R&R Podcast Network.
On this edition of the flagship, I will go over the good, the bad, and the ugly from this week's wrestling TV, including what I really thought about the Chris Jericho MJF segment on AEW Dynamite. I'll also cover the current news, including WWE being investigated for their venues possibly being COVID-19 hotspots. Polyester the Evil Taylor has a new imbecile of the week. All that and much more. The flagship starts now.
Welcome to the flagship edition of the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. A hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. Now, let's introduce your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is the flagship. It is episode number 136. I am your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. I hope everybody is doing well all around the world, and thank you for being here. We do have a lot to cover on the good, the bad, and the ugly this week. You guys, may be surprised, you may not be surprised about what I thought about the segment between Chris Jericho and Maxwell Jacob Friedman. But let's not waste any time, let's get right into it. Here is what I thought about this week in wrestling TV with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's now time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Starting off on Monday Night Raw. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me this morning. I haven't even had coffee. Starting off on this week's Monday Night Raw. Typically, we were starting off with a Randy Orton promo segment, but this week was different. Alexa Bliss was actually in the ring to start the show, and she said, the Fiend is here, and asks everybody, everybody being all the people in the Thunderdome on the monitors, to let him in. So I honestly don't know how people on pretty much a Skype, you know, a giant Zoom session, I don't know how they're going to let the Fiend in. Maybe she was talking to the camera guys, or Adam Pearce, or I don't know, but somebody eventually did let the Fiend in. The lights went out. The Fiend was there. And then all of a sudden, Retribution shows up. And they hit the ring and kind of surrounded the Fiend and Bliss on the apron. The lights go out. The Fiend and Bliss disappeared. When the lights came back on, the Hurt Business came out for their match, and then they just started to brawl with each other. So weird. I mean, I put the Alexa and Fiend thing in the good, but really, I mean, the bad is kind of like, you know, the Hurt Business and all. I'm getting so tired. In fact, you know what? Screw it. That's ugly. This whole Retribution thing is stupid now. I think they even lost a member. I don't know if it was one of the women or gone. Like if Mia Yim was gone, or I thought they had two women in the group. But you got Ali now, who is the leader. You got Slap Nuts. You got T-Bone. You got Pepper Spray. These guys, why do they have contracts? Doesn't make sense. They even got drafted, which is even dumber. And now you got Ali, who on this show admitted that he actually was the hacker. He was that hacker gimmick that they were showing those videos on for months and months and never paid it off. So finally, just in like a backstage interview segment, Ali just admitted, you know what? I was watching you guys the whole time, and I was the hacker. Yay. Well, at least you confirmed what we already knew. So there you go. There's that. But this retribution thing sucks. And they got their asses beat. They end up fighting the Hurt Business in a tag team match, and they lost. So you have this group that first came out in SmackDown, beat the living crap out of everybody, pretend to be this Antifa-like group, beat up fans in the crowd, spray-painted all the boards, and destroyed the WWE Performance Center, only which to be back as normal the next Monday, following Monday on Raw. And then from then on out, just random attacks by them until them actually getting a contract. And no one ever really explained why they have a contract or why they even got drafted. And now they're already in a match with a new leader, Ali, and it's the same old Ali. You know, I mean, it's the same old main event Ali eating a pinfall. But stupid. Absolutely stupid. I'm sorry, Ali didn't eat this pinfall. I'm just saying, like, that's what he did on main event, which nobody watches anyway. Lashley got T-Bone in the Hurt Lock and made him tap out. But yeah, they're already tapping out. So it's ridiculous. In the end, the Fiend returned and attacked all the members of Retribution, and took all of them out by himself. So yeah, that's fun.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
What else was in the good? This was in the good. More Fiend and Alexa. It's the season premiere of the second season of the Firefly Funhouse.
What we got in here? Oh, hi, Fireflies, and welcome to the season premiere of the Firefly Funhouse on Monday Night Raw. You know, it makes me sad to leave all my friends on SmackDown. But I cannot wait to make some new friends right here on Raw! I wonder who that could be. Yeah! Looks like I saved the best surprise for last.
And our fun is just getting started.
Yowie wowie! Bye! See ya! Bye! Mwah. Mwah.
That'll never ever end.
It's good stuff. That was good stuff. I'm gonna save this last promo for last. That's great Wenglish right there. We're gonna finish off the bad with AJ Styles and a new. See, I don't know where Abyss went. Apparently, he's not on TV anymore. So now they replaced him with a new henchman, a new bodyguard, or whatever. Like, AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, needs anybody with him? Like, he's that afraid of Matt Riddle? If you remember the big security guard, a security guard for Raw Underground, obviously he needs something to do because Raw Underground got canceled. His name is Jordan Amagbahin, and he is now AJ Styles' heavy, I guess. He's also the same guy that was the masked ninja for he first debuted as a ninja for Akira Tozawa, but he's now with AJ. But I don't get it. That doesn't make sense to me. Rounding out the bad, Keith Lee Keith Lee loses to Braun Strowman. Braun ended up avoiding a spirit bomb, hit Lee with a big boot, and gave him a three and hit the three count. Then after the match, Keith Lee kicked Braun in the balls. So I don't know what Keith Lee is supposed to be. Is he supposed to be a heel? Is he showing an edge? Was he pissed off? He beats Randy Orton in his debut match on Raw or at the pay-per-view, and now loses to Braun Strowman, who's been losing to everybody for the last 3 years. Sure, that makes sense. The Ugly, we already covered Retribution. Lana and Asuka for the Raw Women's title. Lana wins the dual branded battle royal last week on Raw, which closed out the show, no less, to earn a shot at Asuka's Raw Women's title, and then loses in about 4 minutes. That's WWE booking right now. Also, the women's tag team match was it was pretty atrocious. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are the women's tag team champions. They took on Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans, which have no chemistry at all. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose and the Riot Squad in a multi-woman tag team match. Nia and Shayna got the win, but I'm telling you, this women's division, it's horrible. Whether it be singles or tag team, right now, what used to be the best in the world is just plain average. Finally, rounding out the Ugly is the drama between The Miz and Otis. Miz and Morrison came out and had a microphone. They told Tucker to bring his tag team partner out. Now, I thought Otis and Tucker were on SmackDown. Why did we have a draft if you're going to allow anybody on any show? Tucker came out and revealed that El Grande Gordo is his tag team partner, and it was just Otis in a mask and a cape. Ms. Morrison said that Gordo is actually Otis. Tucker said, no, Gordo, it's not Otis. Gordo is going to become the next Rey Mysterio, which was that was kind of funny. Miz says that Otis isn't championship material while mocking him. Miz said that Otis is a joke, and he makes the Money in the Bank contract a joke. Miz says that people are feeling sorry for him. He talks about how he separated Otis from Mandy, and well, I mean, if Otis is allowed to show up on Raw and Mandy's on Raw, well, who can, what's the difference? What did all that do? Miz being underhanded and separating them when they can just go on any show they want. Like, fuck, this is so stupid. In any event, let's finish off Raw with good. The real, like, actual good on this show, or what I thought was the best thing on the show, is obviously Randy Orton. Randy Orton has been doing fantastic things for the last year and a half. Really done the best work of his career. And this promo was very good as well. It's a little bit long, but here's Randy Orton talking about his upcoming match with the WWE Champion Drew McIntyre at this Sunday's Hell in a Cell.
You know, ever since I've been in this company, I've heard about the Hell in a Cell, and I have heard that anyone who competes inside Hell in a Cell leaves a small piece of them behind. No, I've had 7 matches inside this structure, and I have never left any piece of myself behind. If anything, I have just understood myself better each and every time I walked out that door. I understood what I was truly capable of. This Sunday, I faced Drew McIntyre for the 8th time inside Hell in a Cell. But as I sit here, I remember standing toe-to-toe right here with the world's strongest man. I remember surviving the Celtic Warrior right here. I remember mutilating Jeff Hardy right about here, and I remember beating Daniel Bryan right about here. I remember facing John Cena twice. I remember becoming WWE champion twice. But the most important thing that I remember about Hell in a Cell, despite what Drew McIntyre says, and what he says is that I have never earned a damn thing in my entire life. But despite that, I remember standing in this hell and looking the dead man in the eye and earning his respect. Now, every name I just listed, we can all agree, ladies and gentlemen, that if they're not already Hall of Famers, they will one day be in the Hall of Fame. And when I think of the Hall of Fame, I think of what word would be synonymous with the Hall of Fame. And the first word that comes to mind, and I'm sure you can agree, is legend. But the word legend, it gets thrown around these days rather loosely. The word legend, I don't know. There's legends, and then there's legendary moments. Now, it was a legendary moment, Drew, when you beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and became WWE.
We're about to get company in the form of the WWE Champion. Drew McIntyre did say earlier on tonight that I might just stick around to see the Vipers address from hell.
You knew it was only a matter of time before we'd see Drew McIntyre out here to confront Randy Orton.
Breaking, man. Come on. Come on. Right here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're going to have to wait till Sunday, brother. You're going to have to wait till Sunday. You want a piece of me right now? Break that lock. Get your
keep
ass
running
here.
Your mouth, Randy.
You're a
keep going.
Boy.
Get
you're
all
a
out.
Big boy.
Say everything
break the
you
lock.
Want to
come
say.
On. Come on. Come get me.
Okay. I'll come and get you.
McIntyre can't break that lock.
Oh, but I know it can. McIntyre's got bolt cutters.
McIntyre had a backup plan.
Orton doesn't know what to do.
Orton thought he'd had McIntyre locked out of the Hell in a Cell. Orton's arming himself. Drew McIntyre is broken into hell.
No, 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 no.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide this Sunday. Orton and
don't
McIntyre,
we're together
inside.
Randy, your ass belongs to me.
This should be the blow off for that feud. I'm not sure who's going to win. I will be making my predictions later on. But that wraps it up for Monday Night Raw. Moving on to AEW Dynamite. This was the first round of the World Title Eliminator Tournament. I'm not going to say all of it was good. The only good match, in fact, the only good match of the night, really, was the two Lucha Brothers going against each other. We had Phoenix and Penta fighting each other in a pretty hard-hitting match. There was a botch during the match, and I'll get into this a little bit later in the news, but it's not good. One of these guys is hurt. I won't tell you who, but Phoenix did win the match and moves on to the second round. But really, that's the only good match of the night. The worst match of the night, which I put in the ugly column, was Kenny Omega against Sonny Kiss, which is about a 30-second match. We also have a new entrance from Kenny Omega, which was wildly longer than the actual match itself. It started out with like a K-pop song or some Japanese video game-ish music. We know Kenny is a huge fan of Japanese culture. There was two cheerleaders that came out and started dancing. And then Kenny comes out from behind this, it was a silhouette of Kenny, and he comes out of the other tube, and his new song plays, which was actually good. I don't know who did it, but it was a really good song. And that was the best part of the whole thing. But if that's really his new entrance, he had fireworks and all that. Like, it was probably about a minute and a half entrance, 2 minutes. I could be wrong. It could have been longer. I really wasn't keeping time, but it was fairly long. Let's just say that for a wrestling entrance. And if that's going to be his entrance every week, it's going to take forever. And Cody's going to get pissed because it was longer than Cody's. And Cody's probably going to have to add something to his already ridiculous entrance. So, yeah. I'm not one to talk. If you guys ever saw my YouTube channel, Rad Rob Gaming, I show my entrances for the last few years from the WWE 2K games. And I literally had the longest entrances in the history of wrestling, but, you know, 6 minutes or so. But, hey, it's a video game. It's different. It's not real life. Where was I? I don't even know. Oh, yeah, Mega and Kiss. I guess Kenny's back to being the cleaner now. And then he said something into the camera at the end of the match, which nobody could hear. He just talked for like 30 seconds. Also in the ugly, the women's division. And look, I beat up WWE for their women's division, but, you know, I've said since the very beginning that AEW's women's division is horrible. And it still is. There's nothing good about it. There's nothing redeeming about their division at all. Alex Reynolds ended up getting hurt, supposedly, allegedly. If you listen to my buddy Jimmy Corderas on Twitter and Instagram, when he does his ref and rant every day, he made the same observation that I thought had happened, was that Alex Reynolds got hit with a DDT, which looked a little bit stiff. And ended up just laying there in the ring and not really moving at all. Like, he was moving his arms and all that, but he was not getting up. And I don't think he was selling this because he was hurt. And at one point, they dragged him to the corner by his arm and tagged their, somebody else tagged themselves in. And then he just kind of lay there. He did walk off under his own power after the match, but he did get hurt. And look, this is something we've seen from AEW for quite a while now. It's like, everybody's going to end up with freaking CTE, man, because, like, especially the stuff with Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. You had this now with Alex Reynolds. You've had, you know, several other instances where, you know, somebody's hurt and no one's stopping the match or no one's getting help or anything like that. And they were just, like, walking around Reynolds and wrestling around him, but if he had a neck injury, they're pulling him into the corner to get a tag just to finish the match. That's not good. It's not a good look. Tony Khan should be ashamed of himself. I'm telling you, he knows better.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
The last thing I want to talk about with AEW, because I really didn't want to talk about AEW at all, because it's still a shitty TV show. But I want to talk about this Chris Jericho MJF segment that the entire wrestling world is talking about. We actually heard what Jim Cornette said about it. We've heard what other wrestling stalwarts have said about it as well. Some good reviews, some bad reviews, a lot of what the fucks were going on. Twitter was ablaze after this segment went on the air. So it was supposed to be a steak dinner. Yes, a steak dinner that was advertised for the for the last week now. MJF and Chris Jericho were sitting down having their dinner. Well, you know what? I'm just going to play it for you. It's a 5 or 6 minute segment, so it's rather lengthy. The visuals are definitely worth watching it if you want to go to AEW's YouTube page and watch the video. It's on there, but I'm going to play it for you, and we'll find out what I thought about it.
Good evening. My name is Velma. I will be taking care of you guys. Sir, I can see you are already enjoying a nice glass of our red wine.
You're stretching it. I've had better. Thelma?
Her name is Velma with a V.
Got it. Completely understand. Thelma, here's my order, okay, sweetheart? I'm going to need a 20-ounce porterhouse steak with a baked potato on the side, and I'm going to need that sucker well done. Thanks.
Velma, I would love a porterhouse steak, also 20 ounces, also with a baked potato, but I'd like that cooked medium well.
Sweetheart, my apologies. I'd like you to strike down that last order. I'm going to have a 20-ounce porterhouse with a baked potato, and I'm going to need that medium.
Well, I would like a porterhouse steak, 20 ounces, with a baked potato. I'd like to change the temperature on that to medium rare.
Thelma, please strike my last order. I would like a 20-ounce porterhouse steak with a baked potato on the side, and I'm going to need that rare.
Thelma, forget my previous order. I want a porterhouse steak, 20 ounces, baked potato on the side, and I like that cooked blue, a.k.a. extra bloody rare. Come on.
Okay, great.
What are we doing? What are we doing here?
What?
We've been sitting here for 20 minutes, haven't said a word. You've been rude to everybody.
Who's I been even rude to?
Rude to the valet guy? Rude to the old lady on the steps downstairs? You know, we're going to have this town hall meeting next week with the Inner Circle to talk to the man on the street to find out what the general consensus is as to whether or not you should join. I don't even know if we should even bother. What's the point?
Chris, let's cut through the bull, okay? You and I both know this is a gigantic opportunity for both of us. We're the two biggest stars in all of professional wrestling. Us working together, man, the demo god and the ratings ruler?
All right. Let me just say this. Cut through the bull. The ratings ruler sucks.
People love it.
It's terrible. It's got about as much chance of getting over as Orange Cassidy.
See? We're already getting through our differences, Chris. I mean, come on. Just picture it. Us. Together.
Like the wallpaper sticks to the wall. Like the seashore clings to the sea. Like you'll never get rid of your shadow. Chris, you'll never get rid of me. Let all the others fight and fuss. Whatever happens, we've got us.
Me.
We're closer than pages that stick
and
in a book. We're closer than ripples that play in a brook.
So
wherever you'll find him, you'll find me just closer than a recliner thrown at Hardy's forehead geyser, me.
We're closer than snakes are, they slide through the grass. We're closer than Cody's to a jackass. Not a soul can bust this team in two. We stick together like glue. And when it's sleeping time,
that's when we rise.
We start to swing.
Swing to the sky.
Our clocks don't chime.
What a surprise.
They ring. A ding ding, happy new year.
And now to repeat what I said at the start, you'll need a large crowbar to break us apart.
We're alone but far from blue. Before we can finish, we'll make the town roar. We'll make all the late spots and then a few more. We wind up at Daly's and then the fourth floor. Life is gonna be wee wah wee for my shadow and me.
Say, Chris.
What is it, Maxwell?
Would you do me a favor?
What do you want now?
Would you mind taking it one more time?
From the top?
No, from the ending.
Wonderful!
And while we are swinging, to mention a few, we'll drop in a Chili's, hey, young buck, screw you! We'll beat up a Moxley, whatever we do. Your life is gonna be we for my.
Oh. Chris, this is rare. Like rare, rare.
It's disgusting. I mean, we're going to have to send this back.
Velma!
I fucking loved it. I loved it. This is like, if they do this stuff every week, I'll watch AEW every single week because the wrestling itself sucks. I don't want to see flip, flop, and fly every single week. I want to be entertained. And this was the most entertaining thing they have ever done, and really what anybody has ever done the entire year. Look, I liked the WrestleMania stuff. I liked the John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse match. It was different. It was out of the box. It wasn't even a match, but it was fun. I loved the Boneyard match. I loved the Money in the Bank match. From the bottom to the top, climbing Titan Tower, climbing WWE headquarters. I liked the stupid stuff that they did there because it's different. When there's COVID going on and we're watching match after match after match with no meaning at all, for the most part, at least we have this stuff to break it up and to be funny. And I've criticized AEW for doing stupid things or Attitude Era-like things like you know, the stuff with the best friends and their mom and their minivan. I mean, yeah, that look. I was hard on that. But, I mean, that was still different and entertaining. But this was fantastic. Number one, I think MJF is actually a better singer than Chris Jericho. MJF is a very, very good singer. But this was a 60s Rat Pack knockoff, you know, with like Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra. It was good. It was stupid. You have to watch it to see how ludicrous it was, honestly. But, you know, listening to it was fun, but really watching it is so much better. At one point, when they went behind the curtain and opens up this huge dance floor with all these female dancers, two of the dancers spun in and grabbed Chris and MJF, and they started to dance. And then they both dropped them on the floor when they were done with that. Hilarious. At the end, Chris, can you do me a favor? What's that? Can we do it again? From the top? No, from the ending. And then they showed their stakes at the end, which are absolutely raw. Hilarious. That was... And was that even a shot at Raw for being so horrible? Raw? Stakes? Monday Night Raw? Maybe? Who knows? They like to take little shots at Raw and stuff like that. So, not sure if that was intended or not, but that's one thing that I noticed. Just them trying to one-up each other with the way they order their steaks. MJF getting the waitress's name wrong and Jericho correcting him because Jericho is famous. That's been his gimmick. His whole career is like messing up people's names. That's genius. This is Chris Jericho at his finest. And this is MJF showing so much personality, not just being an asshole heel when he's always in character. He actually breaks out in a song and dance. It is so ludicrous, you have to love it. So for people that didn't like it... Oh, hold on. Grappler 6 is texting me. Grappler Cave is getting a makeover. New desk, new chair, new updated look. Oh, wow. Hang on, sorry. I'm excited to see that. Future bestie. Okay. MJF, Jericho, fantastic stuff. Like, this actually... this actually entertained me. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The rest of the show, though, steaming pile of shit. There's too much to even get into. Even Steve-O from Jackass was on the show, so with Darby Allin. And there's a body bag and skateboard ramp. And yeah. Anyway, that's Dynamite. That's all I want to talk about. Jesus, I got to turn my phone off. Sorry. Okay, so Grappler 6 is renovating the Grappler Cave. So good. He texts me all the time. Like, you want to talk about somebody that really wants to be my best friend? You guys will find out next week. Next Thursday on a bonus edition of the flagship. It'll be the game show, Who Wants to Be My Best Friend? Grappler 6 and the Ocho will be fighting to the death to see who wants to be my best friend. And we'll be hosted by Midnight Mike from the Midnight Jury. More about that later. But man, this guy texts me all the time. I think he really wants to be my best friend. I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to fix the entire competition. Him and Mike are pretty close, so we'll see. So anyways, that's that. I got to turn my ringer off because he'll just keep texting. Talk to you later, buddy. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yeah, that wraps up AEW Dynamite. Let's move on to NXT on USA. What I liked about NXT was this opening match between Kushida, Velveteen Dream, and Tommaso Ciampa. Really, really good match. Kushida ended up getting the win, which is big for him. I mean, Dream at one point was supposed to be the next guy, and you know how great Ciampa is. For Kushida to win this triple threat is a pretty big deal. I love where they're going with him. Look, historically, WWE has never done a great job pushing Japanese wrestlers. I don't know what it is about Vince. Coming from the 80s, when Gorilla Monsoon used to do commentary, whenever somebody got hit from behind, he goes, oh, it's a Pearl Harbor job. So, I mean, they've always been a little racist towards Japanese people. What else I like? Ember Moon defeated Jessie Kamea. Good to see Ember Moon back in the ring. We didn't think she'd ever come back. I mean, she literally had a career-threatening injury. So I do enjoy seeing Ember back. A pretty decent six-man tag team match. Isaiah Swerve Scott, Jake Atlas, and Ashtane the Adonis took on Legado del Fantasma, which is Santos Escobar, Raul Mendoza, and Joaquin Wild in a really, really solid match that saw Legado del Fantasma pick up the win. But those guys are great together, and I hated Joaquin Wild before with his stupid ass helmet they used to wear to the ring. But these guys impressed me, and they're a really good faction. I also enjoyed this segment involving the Gargano family.
Why are we doing this? You know how I feel about these things.
I just found it like
everybody knows Johnny Gargano hates wheels, and here we are.
We need practice, okay? What if we have to spin the wheel, huh? You want to leave that to chance?
So it's a training wheel.
It's a training wheel.
Okay, fine. Fine. What's the worst that can happen,
See?
Right?
Okay.
Well, that sucks. I'm going to be buried alive.
No,
they're going to pour dirt on me. I'm alive, man. What do we do? I mean, but... What are the odds of that happening, right? Like one in a million?
Like one in 12.
One in 12. Just go. Just spin the stupid wheel.
Okay.
Just go.
Okay. Oh. Oh. Trick or Street Fight. Oh my gosh, this is great. I'm totally going to beat EO. I'm undefeated in street fights. This is great.
Yeah, it's great. You're going to be women's champion. I'm going to be 6 feet underground. I'm gonna go again.
Go
I'm
again.
A coal miner's
go
glove.
Again.
Casket match. Why does this wheel want me dead? So I hate these things. They're unpredictable. I can't control it. You know how I do things. I need to be in control.
Okay, it just.
I hate you, wheel. I hate you.
Okay.
I'm done. Go get that. Get rid of it.
I hate wheels. I love it. That's just... Johnny keeps landing on things that are going to kill him. Too funny.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Dexter Lumis is very entertaining as well. He will be facing Cameron Grimes next week on the Halloween Havoc edition of NXT on USA. And Grimes was cutting a promo backstage. He realized, or he was told what the match stipulation will be, which will be a House of Terror or some shit like that. I don't even know what the hell it's going to be. But the whole time behind the door with a little glass pane that you can see in the other room. Dexter Lumis disappears, and we're just staring at Cameron the entire time, which nobody noticed he was there, but he was there for a good minute or so. And then Grimes walked away. Lumis, that's funny. I love Lumis. I really do. Timothy Thatcher is fantastic. He had another edition of his school teaching these young upstarts, submission holds and catches catch can stuff. And one of the students mouthed off. His name was Anthony. So Anthony ended up getting his ass kicked by Thatcher in like 30 seconds. That was fun. No Robert Stone. Again, that's always going to be in the good column when that happens. The main event was solid. I enjoyed the main event. It was for the NXT Tag Team Championship. Breezango defending their titles against Oney, Lorcan, and Danny Burch. And Oney and Burch won. And look, I've loved these guys for a long time. I thought they were a fantastic tag team. I don't know why they ever broke them up. But your winners and new tag team champions, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, with help from a masked man who ended up being this gentleman.
I'd like to say this place looks like absolute dog crap with all of you humans in here this evening. This would have looked much better without you. I was in a building that didn't have any fans. The place was fantastic. Now, tonight, you all got a chance to have a front row seat to watch two men who have battled for years get to the top of the NXT Tag Team Mountain. This is the start of something very special. And a lot of people are probably wondering, how did we get here? We will get to that at some point. Just know that us three are the new kings of this brand. Us three are unstoppable. Us three are nowhere near done with what we're going to do to all of NXT. Have a great night. We're the greatest. You suck. Cheers.
That's right, baby. Pat McAfee is back. I thought he was fantastic in his debut match against Adam Cole. And I'm glad he's back. I'm looking for Cole and McAfee too. That should be really, really good stuff. McAfee's such a dick. In the bad, and this is the only thing I have for the bad, is Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. They're still doing their odd couple tag team thing, and it's just not working for me. And the ugly is Shotzi Blackheart, which will always forever be in the ugly because she's horrible and her gimmick sucks. I hate her whole howling shit. She's hosting Halloween Havoc, you know, because she does the whole howling at the moon bullshit. And they did this little promo for Halloween Havoc next week. And she was doing her whole horror-ish type stuff. And she even howled at the end. She sucks so much. Moving on to SmackDown on Fox. I enjoyed this opening segment between Kevin Owens and the returning Daniel Bryan.
Imagine what we would be as a tag team. Imagine, it would be incredible. Now, I even have the team name worked, it's worked out. Get this, Team Hell KO.
That would be you teaming with Kane.
What? No, yeah, not yeah. Kane. You.
Kane was the hell part.
Oh, I see what. Oh, I see the name. I see what you did. Well, okay. Well, we can talk about the name later. But you and I, as a tag team, would be unprecedented. Okay. I need you to think about that. We'd be even better than you and Kane. I really think so. So I want. Why?
You had a party out here tonight, and you didn't invite us. We feel a little slighted here.
You know, you're out here talking about some fantasy tag team. The fact of the matter is you should be talking about two of the greatest SmackDown acquisitions in history, right here. And the greatest tag team on the planet, right here. Wasting everybody's time.
We ain't forget what y'all tried to pull last week, fam.
But nonetheless, Dawkins, we are so excited to be on Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah. Tell them why, fam.
Because the Street Profits are up and we want
the smoke.
Buzzkill.
This keeps getting better.
Surprise, surprise. Look who's getting disrespected again. The two men who have been carrying the SmackDown Tag Division for months.
You stole our title.
Yeah, and then you two just get them handed to you like a game of white elephant. Yeah.
Listen, Kevin, I think that we should test your theory about how good of a tag team we would be. Maybe right now.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, here we go!
We got a throwdown on SmackDown!
And the brawl is underway!
This is all Kevin Owens' fault with his fantasies about being in a tag team with Daniel Bryan!
We have the promise, or the premise. Premise. KO and DB are going to tag up. How cool is that? We also have this. One person quits and another person comes back. Check this out.
Well, Shorty G, how do you feel?
I quit.
Can I have a second with him, please? Thank you. How you feeling? Look, I came to check on you, see how you're doing, but I also have to make sure I'm not hearing things. Did you just say you quit?
Yeah, I quit. I quit being Shorty G. All right? I'm done being a character that talks about, oh, just accept who you are, okay? It'll all be fine. You know what I don't accept? I don't accept this Shorty G crap. All right, I'm done being the smiling little punching bag around this place. Their little happy face on top of their public service announcement, okay? What a joke. Oh, just accept who you are, and you can achieve anything you want. No, they can't. Who are we kidding? They can't achieve everything they want. And neither can Shorty G. There's only one man that can achieve anything he wants. An Olympian. State. National, world championships. A man with a list of achievements so big, it has to be seen to be believed. Trust me, Pierce. It's long. And his name is Gable. Chad Gable.
Shorty G quits, and Chad Gable's back, and it looks like he's back as a heel. Oh, if they brought American Alpha back, that'd be fantastic. That tag team division is so, so horrible, but good to see Chad Gable back. The Shorty G thing is gone. Man, it'd also be great to see Kurt Angle get involved. You know, we always wanted Kurt Angle to kind of be, his illegitimate father or whatever. But hey, Shorty G's gone. Chad Gable's back. That's all that matters. Otis and Miz. I hated what they did Monday night, but I actually enjoyed what they did here on SmackDown. And here is part one of the Otis Court. Or Law and Otis. I forgot what they called it.
In the WWE justice system, superstars are generally represented by attorneys. Except for Otis, who has decided to represent himself. This is his story.
In this case, the plaintiff, Mr. Mazanin, is suing the defendant, Otis, for emotional distress, wanton destruction of property, creating an unsafe work environment, and money in the bank negligence. With that being said, counselor, please proceed with your opening argument.
Thank you.
Actually, I got this. Your Honor, I am here for the truth. Case law is on my side. I can cite Intick versus Carrington, Schmuck versus United States, Marbury versus Madison, but more importantly, the truth is on my side. And the truth is the defendant has victimized me, both physically as well as emotionally.
I think I deserve the Money in the Bank contract because I won the Money in the Bank ladder match. Thank you.
That's a good argument.
You're fired.
Otis assaulted The Miz. He assaulted me. They say he assaults a lot of people. It's hard to put into words the trauma that we've endured. And it's not necessarily the physical scars, it's the scars in here that hurt the most.
I was in that Money in the Bank ladder match. Eight of us walked in, and only one walked out, and that was Otis. As far as I'm concerned, he should be able to cash in that contract anytime he wants. He won straight up.
Did you get any of that?
Every single word, player.
Holla, holla, holla!
Otis is my best friend. And while he might not be as educated as some, the big man is sensitive. Miz, you crossed the line. You had his girlfriend, Mandy Rose, traded to Raw. So as far as I'm concerned, you deserve everything that's come your way.
Is that so? Your Honor, permission to treat the witness as hostile?
It's about time things got hostile.
So, Tucker, you're testifying that I deserved the emotional distress, unsafe work environment, and destruction of property caused by Otis.
Yes.
And is it true that during this time, Otis neglected the Money in the Bank contract?
Neglected? What does that even mean?
Just answer the question!
All I know is that since you started screwing with Otis's life, all he can focus on is beating the crap out of you. And now that I think about it, I want to beat the crap out of you right now.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Come on, get over here. Order in the court! Order in the court!
Everybody! Shut up!
We'll take a short recess. When we reconvene, I'll render my verdict.
I got the piece, player. I'll be right back.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, man. Ron Simmons, JBL, the APA returns just in different roles. Ron Simmons was the bailiff. JBL was the judge, which is funny because in Wrestler's Court, you know, they were involved with The Undertaker. And Teddy Long was there as the court stenographer. look, Miz and Otis suck. You know, they've never been great actors, but JBL was fantastic. We'll get the verdict here in a couple of minutes here. I enjoyed the interaction between Bayley and Sasha Banks. The match has been announced as being a Hell in a Cell match for the SmackDown Women's title, but Bayley had not officially signed the contract. All that went awry last week. So Sasha had the contract again this week and was forcing Bayley to sign it, and Bayley did not want to. Eventually, a chair broke out, and Sasha ended up getting Bayley in a loose version of the bank statement, just kind of wrapped the chair around her neck and arm and kind of wrenched back on it and forced her to sign the contract. So it is official. Bayley will be defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against Sasha Banks in Hell in a Cell at Hell in a Cell tomorrow. And what should be a fantastic match. We've been waiting for this match for quite a while. The fact that it's in Hell in a Cell shouldn't really make a difference because we know the blood policy. I don't expect any blood to be there unless somebody hardways. But it still should be a fantastic match because I will say this about the two. While I've not been tremendous fans of their characters, especially Sasha, I just don't think she's that good. They're both fantastic in the ring. And if this is anything like their match from SummerSlam weekend in Brooklyn a few years ago, then it'll be a showstopper for sure. Let's move on to part two of Law and Otis, The Verdict.
All rise.
Please be seated. In all of this legal uproar, something is missing, and that something is the truth. I'm supposed to believe that Otis is responsible for emotional distress, destruction of property, and creating an unsafe work environment. He's a WWE superstar. That's pretty much a job description. If those were crimes, Ron Simmons and I would be serving a life sentence right now. And Ms., about your accusation of Money in the Bank negligence, it is true that Otis has not cashed in yet, but that is not negligent. It is clearly established in the contract that the Money in the Bank winner has a full year to cash in. So after minimal deliberation, I have absolutely no choice but to rule in favor of...
Your Honor, if I may just have one more second.
Ms.?
I forgot to submit a key piece of evidence.
You're lucky. I have let you interrupt this entire trial.
I know, but I really think you want to admit this evidence.
Bill of Simmons... Please retrieve the evidence from Ms. and approach the bench. Thank you. In light of the new evidence, I have no recourse but to decide in favor of the plaintiff, The Miz. Otis, you are ordered to appear at WWE Hell in a Cell this week, and you will face The Miz, and the winner will get and keep the Money in the Bank contract. We are adjourned.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Damn!
The swerve. JBL was about to rule in favor of Otis because he made a great argument. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, Otis has a year to defend to cash in the contract and, you know, causing bodily harm, personal injury, and damage to your property. That's being a WWE superstar. You know, Ron and I would have had a life sentence. That was a great line. But then the last minute evidence comes into play, and I'm glad they had a little cha-ching sound when JBL opened the briefcase, so you knew there was money in it. But come on, man, like they didn't really need that. But in any event, JBL got paid off, which is true to his character. And Otis and Miz will be facing each other at Hell in a Cell. Whoever wins gets the rightful ownership of the Money in the Bank briefcase. There's no bad. There is one thing in the ugly column, which is the whole Mysterio family drama. They've continued this again. Murphy and Rollins were facing each other. Rollins won. He's about to beat the crap out of Murphy. Aaliyah comes down to kind of help him. And then Dominic comes down. He gets his ass kicked. And then Ray comes down with a chair and cleans house. And, you know, they're all like, what are you doing, Aaliyah? What are you doing, Aaliyah? Like, Jesus Christ, they've been doing this for weeks now. And she helped Murphy up and was just kind of holding him by the shoulder and just looking at him. You know, while Ray and Dominic are like, what the hell? So getting tired. And there was dialogue between Dominic and Ray that, you know, off mic that the camera picked up. And it was just bad. Bad acting. Horrible acting. I'm so tired. I really want all this stuff to end. If Aaliyah is going to be with Murphy, then fine. Who cares? You know, at this point, Dominic and Ray are being the heels because they're not letting Aaliyah do whatever she wants and live her life. She's an adult now. She can see or do whatever she wants. So I really hope they wrap this up soon. But that's all I had for the ugly. And what was a good show? Oh, wait, how could I forget? How could I forget the actual best part of the entire show? I'm kidding. I had this planned for last, just like I did for Raw. But the final segment of the show was between Roman Reigns and Jey Uso and it was very, very entertaining, so I do want to play that promo for you right now. Here is the Universal Champion, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns.
Yo, Tribal Chief! Tribal Chief, over here! Yeah, 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 you see it. I'm up in the Tribal Chief VIP suit. And what do we got here? We got some Tribal Cheese, huh? We got some tribal raspberries and some H2O. I bet it is great to be the tribal chief. I bet it's better to be cousins with the tribal chief. At least it was. You changed, Luce. You got your head so far up your tribal chief ass, you don't lost connections with yourself and with our family. But who am I to ask, right? Don't ask me. Ask my brother Jay. He's right behind you.
Oh my God, that was Jimmy Uso! And here's Jey Uso, ambushing the champ Roman Reigns! Oh my God! And who sends Reigns into the corner? And out Jey Uso, steel chair in hand. Time for a little payback. Oh, Roman Reigns with a boot. Roman got all of it, too. And now Roman Reigns, steel chair in hand, looking at... Oh, and a super kick by Jey Uso. And down goes the Universal Champion. And Uso's going to head up top. The Tribal Chief's down. Jey Uso with the Uso splash!
It's funny to you boys. Because you don't understand. I understand. If you make me quit, I'm not the Universal Champion. I'm not the face of the WWE. I'm not the head of the table. I'm not the Tribal Chief. I'm not the provider of generations and generations of our bloodline. If you can make me quit, I can live with that. But the question is, can you? When I make you quit, and I will make you quit, you will fall in line. You will take orders. You will acknowledge me. You will respect me for who I am in the WWE and all that I do for our family. And if you just can't, then you're out.
I'm out.
And not just you. You brought your brother with you. He's out too. Your wives, your children's children are all out of the family.
Who are you, Luz? Who are you?
We will all turn our backs on you.
What?
Those are your consequences.
Jay facing excommunication from their own family. And this is what Jay Uso faces, Corey. Inside that structure, hell in a cell, in which Roman Reigns has walked in three times, in which he's never been beaten. Jay Uso must make Roman Reigns say the words, "I quit," on Sunday. If he doesn't, not only Jay, but Jimmy and their entire families are out of the dynasty for good.
This is truly bigger than championships, bigger than business. This is about family. This is about everyday life. Is Jey Uso going to be able to climb the mountain and survive?
Jey Uso making a statement in what becomes a life-changing, a life-altering match inside Hell in a Cell on Sunday. It's not just for the Universal Championship. It's about the bloodline. It's about family dominance.
Probably one of the best promos that Roman ever did. I still can't get over his teeth, like his new fake teeth or whatever. Like, they're so square. It's almost like he's talking with a mouthpiece. Like they're too big for his mouth. It doesn't fit. But no, other than that, Roman is fantastic. You can obviously Paul Heyman's fat fingerprints all over that. I thought Paul has been doing a fantastic job at coaching Roman, getting him to cut better promos, possibly even writing it for him. Paul Heyman is going to be invaluable to Roman Reigns' career for sure when it's all said and done. But this is so, so good. And they did such a great job of storytelling this entire feud where they really make Jey Uso a credible threat. But we all know what's going to happen. But in any event, it was a very, very good segment. I've really enjoyed this feud, and we'll see what happens at Hell in a Cell. That wraps up the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Let's get into the current news in the RTW News Desk.
Here's what's going on in the world of pro wrestling in this week's RTW News Desk.
Our top story in the RTW News Desk: the WWE venues are being investigated as potential COVID-19 hotspots. WWE is at the center of an investigation from the Orange County Department of Health in Florida as a potential COVID-19 hotspot. WFTV reports that WWE and the venues it has been operating in, Full Sail, the WWE Performance Center, and the Amway Center, as places where COVID-19 could be spread. Well, no shit. Health Officer Dr. Raul Pino sent a list of bars to Orange County's strike team for further investigation because he said people who have tested positive are mentioning these locations more than others as places where they might have been infected. Several bars in the area have been the subject of the investigations, with other businesses such as Amazon, Crunch Fitness, and WWE being investigated. WWE sent the following statement regarding the report. WWE is not open to the public, but rather operating on a closed set with only essential personnel in attendance. As part of ongoing weekly testing protocols, Aventis Labs have administered more than 10,000 PCR tests to WWE performers, employees, production staff, and crew, resulting in only 1.5% positive cases as compared to the current national average of more than 5%. Additionally, extensive contact tracing takes place and impacted individuals are placed in 14-day quarantine and then only cleared after they test negative. John Alba reported that WWE is unlikely to face any repercussions because of this, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. He tweeted, "This does not necessarily mean WWE has new COVID-19 outbreaks. I have reported on multiple outbreaks in the past several months within the company, and it's likely those are the points of reference. What it does mean now is that the strike force will visit for a report." That'd be good to see Tito and Rick Martel back. They were one of my favorite tag teams from the 80s. John goes on to tweet, "A government source tells me it is unlikely WWE will actually face any repercussions because of this, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. I was told it's more likely to resemble a checkup. It is worth noting WWE NXT recently started allowing outsiders into the PC. As you know, the promotion has had people test positive for COVID-19 in recent months, such as Renee Young prior to her departure in August and Kayla Braxton. As reported by Fightful Select in September, there were several positive tests in NXT the week of September 9th, with many recruits testing positive. Several classes at the PC ended up being canceled, though some essential coaches were said to have remained. The Amway Center has been the home of WWE's Thunderdome, where Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views have been televised since August. The Performance Center served that role prior to WWE moving to the Amway Center, and Full Sail has been where NXT has taped. Charlie Caruso explains her storyline with Angel Garza. For months, Angel Garza flirted with Charlie Caruso during backstage interview segments. Though Garza proposed to his then-girlfriend on NXT television, a ladies' man is going to be a ladies' man, and Garza could not resist flirting with Charlie. The dynamic between the two annoyed Zelina Vega, who believed Garza should have had his eyes on the prize. Then, one day, Garza stopped flirting with Charlie. What happened between the two? Nothing, really. The storyline just stopped. Charlie even responded to a tweet saying, "Yeah, it just randomly stopped. Was Charlie ghosted? Did she not check on Angel following his injury? Did she watch NXT and find out he was engaged to be married? Did Zelina interfere? Did the hacker interfere with their relationship? Was Garza actually a catfish?" The world will never know because their storyline just randomly stopped. That is the true heartbreak. It's just typical WWE booking. That was courtesy of Fightful.com. Yeah, I mean, typical WWE stuff. Just like they kind of dropped the hacker thing. At least they finally told us that Ali was the hacker, but that was initially dropped for weeks and nobody knew about it. But who knows what happened, what really happened between Angel Garza and Charlie Caruso. WWE declares their quarterly dividend for third quarter 2020. The quarterly dividend came in at 12 cents per share for all Class A and Class B shares of common stock, which is the same as the dividend for quarter two. Jake Hager had some things to say about that, which was even more interesting than that. Jake went pretty hard at Stephanie McMahon. Well, I mean, he didn't. That sounded horrible, didn't it? Stephanie took to social media to say how proud she was of the community for helping WWE win the 2020 Corporation of the Year Award at the PR News CSR and Nonprofit Awards. If WWE does one thing well, it's putting smiles on faces. Stephanie tweeted out, "So proud of the WWE community team and all their hard work to make WWE the 2020 Corporation of the Year at this year's PR News, CSR, and Nonprofit Awards. WWE's mission is to put smiles on faces, and it could not be done without the hard work and passion of this incredible team." AEW star Jake Hager made sure to point out that WWE has put frowns on faces this year as well. Jake tweeted out, LMAO, "I guess lying about over $37 million in quarterly profits so you can fire over 300 people during a worldwide pandemic is a category for an award." He also tagged in Andrew Yang. WWE made company-wide cutbacks in April due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but their net income hit $43.8 million in the second quarter of 2020. Hager tagged former presidential candidate Andrew Yang, who has been very outspoken against WWE in recent months, even going as far as calling them, quote, "fucking greedy." Former WCW wrestler Johnny Meadows passes after his battle with COVID-19. The news was first posted on Meadows' Facebook page. I guess they come in threes, like I said last week. The Daily Times reported that Meadows tested positive for COVID-19 in September and had been on a ventilator support system since September 28th. Meadows began wrestling in 1981 and worked for Southeastern Championship Wrestling and SMW. He is best known for his work in WCW as an enhancement talent. He was part of many teams in wrestling, including the Paradise City Rockers with Joey Kazana, the Dream Team with Don Lucas, the Cruisers with Terry Bronson. He was also part of the Stingers, NWA slash WCW henchmen for Ric Flair, and played the characters the Red Rocker and the Italian Stallion. Not the same Italian Stallion. It's not the same guy. Along with being a wrestler, Meadows was a Dove and Grammy nominated ASCAP songwriter. He was part of groups such as Tranquility Express, the Rhone State Boys, both of which toured. I would like to extend my condolences to the family, friends, and fans of Meadows. Rey Fénix vacates win over Penta. Penta is to face Kenny Omega on the 10/28 edition of AEW Dynamite. As I had mentioned earlier, in the first round of the AEW World Title No. 1 Contenders Eliminator Tournament, Rey Fénix defeated his Lucha brother, Penta L0M, to advance to the semifinals and a date with Kenny Omega. However, Eddie Kingston and Fénix have now announced that Fénix has forfeited his victory due to injury. As a result, Penta will now face Omega in the semifinals of the tournament on the October 28th edition of AEW Dynamite. It was reported by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer, Fénix suffered a neck injury during his bout against Penta. The report noted Fénix told friends he was okay, but AEW management decided to pull him out of the match as a precautionary measure. It was that rolling DDT spot that looked like a botch, I believe, to what is what caused the neck injury. So that's pretty unfortunate. Speaking of unfortunate and how things were handled on Dynamite, I also had mentioned Alex Reynolds, how he wasn't really moving at the end of that match on this past Dynamite. Reynolds gave an update during the main event of AEW Dynamite. Reynolds laid unconscious in the ring following a spot by Private Party. Reynolds was able to walk to the back, as I mentioned earlier, under his own power, and was reportedly okay backstage. But taking to social media, Reynolds posted the following message. Hey guys, just wanted to thank you for all the concerns for my health. It means the world to me. I truly believe the ref and our doctor handled the situation great on Wednesday's show. Injuries happen in wrestling, but I feel completely safe with our team here. Thanks again, and I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. That was pretty much a bullshit company line there. Alex McCarthy of TalkSport even tweeted out, listen, I understand there's a lot of moving parts and it's live TV, etc. But there's no way that Alex Reynolds should have been able to lay out cold in the ring for that long, which is true. And the referee did nothing. So how Alex can say that the referee and their staff handled it perfectly is a bold-faced lie. Teddy Hart jailed again in Texas. Teddy Hart is behind bars once again. According to court documents obtained by PW Insider, Hart was booked into Tarrant County Jail in Fort Worth, Texas on Thursday. He was named a fugitive from justice in Texas on May 4th. Court records in Texas list Hart as facing charges of injuring a child, elderly disabled person, evading arrest with a vehicle, and possession of a controlled substance. Those were the charges stemming from his arrest in December of 2016, 4 years ago. Almost 4 years ago. The new arrest is possibly related to a probation or parole violation that led to the warrant being issued for his arrest and return to Texas. He was slated for a hearing in Richmond regarding potential extradition to another jurisdiction on Friday morning. Instead, he was transferred from Richmond City Jail and was incarcerated into Tarrant County Jail. On September 10th, Hart was sentenced to 10 days in prison in Richmond County Jail and arrested again after being incarcerated. Court records indicate that his 10-day jail sentence stemmed from a March 4th arrest where he was taken into custody for violating his house arrest in Virginia. Poor Teddy. He had so much talent and, just couldn't ever stay out of trouble and get rid of his demons. Really, really unfortunate. Finally, Daniel Bryan was on Talking Smack, and he dropped something that was pretty notable. Bryan had said on Talking Smack, one of the things that past generations hasn't done a great job of realizing is that the younger generation needs more of a spotlight, because we've had so much time on TV and everyone's like, oh man, Daniel Bryan's on TV, and everyone gets excited when I do the yes chance. So let's put him on TV more. What makes me good right now is, in my mind, it's my mind and no longer my athletic ability. With WWE, the thing that's going to bring in the young fans, you know, and I'm nearly a 40-year-old dad, I'm not cool. I see all these guys who can bring a younger audience to the show, and that gets me excited. I haven't said anything about this, but in my mind, this is kind of my last run. This is my last run as a full-time superstar. It's not really a scoop. You can feel it even in just the way I approach things and the way my mentality is as far as my view towards younger people and all that kind of stuff. And when I do this, as I'm doing my last run, my thing isn't like, you know, I don't have to prove to everybody that I'm the best. When I'm out there, I'm proving things to myself, and I want things to be better for the younger talent.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Coming up tomorrow is WWE Hell in a Cell 2020. Let's get into my predictions for this pay-per-view. Not many matches have been announced. It's kind of hard to do a preview show. But we do have Jeff Hardy taking on Elias. As you know, several months ago, Jeff Hardy was involved in an alcoholic/drug addict angle with Sheamus on SmackDown. Elias, unfortunately, was struck by a motor vehicle, which allegedly Jeff Hardy had been driving. He did rent that car, but we found out later on that it was Sheamus. But apparently Elias did not watch any of the footage, and once he came out of his coma, he decided he wanted to attack Jeff Hardy on Raw, and in the event of that, we have this match. I don't think Elias is going to win. I think Jeff Hardy, I mean, I'm kind of, I don't know. You know what? Actually, I'm going to go with Elias. That's on the spot. I initially thought Jeff was going to win, but at what point did they just cut bait with Elias and say this didn't work out? Like, if they don't give him a push now, it's not going to happen. Jeff Hardy is Jeff Hardy. He doesn't need to win. And with Elias coming back now, if you really want to put some steam behind him, especially when you're, you know, during COVID, when you don't have a lot of top stars, this would really, I mean, obviously help Elias much more if he were to win than Jeff Hardy. So, you know what? I'm going to pick Elias in this one. SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bayley defending her title against Sasha Banks in the Hell in a Cell. Again, this is another situation where, you know, Sasha needs the win. If Sasha doesn't win, what do you do with her? Bayley's been the champion for a long time now, over a year. I don't see Sasha losing. So, just by that argument alone, I'm going to predict Sasha to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton in Hell in a Cell. There's three Hell in a Cell matches in this show. Usually it's two, one on each brand, but there's actually three. In what should be the blow-off, Drew McIntyre defending his title against Randy Orton. And I am picking Randy Orton to win because, you know, it's almost the opposite logic. Randy doesn't need to win. Randy Orton is Randy Orton. He always will be. But man, like, I think he's still got another run in him. Like, because if he doesn't win now, who does he feud with? Randy has been so far and above everybody else on the roster with his promos and with his matches. You know, it's either they really love Drew McIntyre and this is finally going to be what cements him as the real deal, or Randy's going to win. But this is a pick'em to me. I want to see Randy win the title. I'm going to pick Randy Orton. Finally, for the Universal Championship, Roman Reigns taking on Jey Uso in a Hell in a Cell, an I Quit match, no less, in the Hell in a Cell. Look, the storytelling between these two has been tremendous. It shows how powerful that good writing can be. And while the rest of the shows have suffered, this has been the best thing going in wrestling right now. Look, I don't see Roman Reigns losing. That would be absolutely stupid. As much as I'd love the Usos, And while it would be a shocker, and trust me, Vince McMahon is known for ridiculous, shocking moments, I don't think this is going to be it. Unless Jay wins, it's a one-off, and he loses it on SmackDown next week. I can see that. I can see them doing that just for, you know, to pop a rating on SmackDown next week. But nah, I don't see it. Roman Reigns is so good right now. I see him defending his title. That wraps up the current news. Let's get on to Polyester the Evil Taylor with this week's Imbecile of the Week.
It's time for everybody's favorite segment.
If you guys don't know how to use a seatbelt, just ring your call button and Tommy will come back there and hit you on the head with a tack hammer.
You know, Lloyd, just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
Here's Polyester, the Evil Taylor, with the Imbecile of the Week.
Some people are really f***ing stupid.
Good evening to each and every one of you imbeciles out there. Welcome back to your favorite segment of the Ninja Turtle Podcast, the Imbecile of the Week, hosted by, well, me, Polyester, the Evil Taylor. So, I'd say over the past couple of decades, there's been this notion that people need positive feedback about themselves. And I blame parents from the 80s and 90s. I don't know what that would happen, but there was this wave of positive reassurance to kids. And you're special. You are one special individual. No matter how much of an imbecile you are, oh, well, you're special. And positive reassurances. And you raise these kids into the imbeciles that are now in their 30s, and that really creates an issue, because these kids who were called special are now raising their kids to do the same, but they have to multiply by 100. So now these little imbeciles out there think they're really, really special, and they think their shit doesn't stink. And Polly has major, major heat with that. Which brings me to birthdays. Now, ever since social media took off in the, I would say, mid-2000s, then it just really kicked to high gear in the early 10s, people made it a point, really, to put their birthdays so that the whole world could see when their birthday was, and in return, get this positive reinforcement, hey, happy birthday. Like that really matters. Everybody in the world has a birthday. You are not unique to the situation. My neighbor gets a birthday. My dog has a birthday. The bum that's underneath the bridge gets a birthday. The strippers, they also get birthdays. So the whole birthday notion is not a very unique thing. Everybody gets one. Just because you were born on that day and 365 days pass, it does not make that day any special. It's just another day. I mean, you know who else had a birthday? Hitler. Hitler had a birthday. Does that mean he was special? Well, I guess he was special, but for different reasons. But to the imbecile listening out there, your birthday is not special. You don't need to put it in to where it's a reminder for the whole world to know that it's your birthday today. Which brings me to this week's imbecile of the week would be, well, the vice president nominee for the Democratic Party, Kamala Harris, because she took it to a whole new level. Not only do you have a terrible cackle that you call a laugh, but you made it a point to tweet out, hey, it's my birthday, happy birthday to me. And that has major heat with Polly, because you are not special. Everyone gets a birthday every 365 days. And that'll do it for this week, you imbeciles. Give me a follow on Twitter, @ThePolly_Ester. That's @ThePolly_Ester on Twitter. And tune in again next week. Who knows? Maybe you'll be a Kamala Harris.
Which reminds me, Chris Karam actually did the same thing this week and announced happy birthday to me on Twitter. All right, that wraps it up for the flagship this week. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, I'm @RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming. Streaming every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central, and every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And check out my YouTube gaming channel, RadRobGaming. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, we are @RadTurtlesPOD. Send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling at gmail.com. Leave us a like on Facebook and follow us there at facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. And check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. It is prowrestlingtees.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. We have a lot going on with the network, as you know. We have a syndicated show, Suck My Balls, the South Park review show. Matt, Scoop, and Joe are hilarious. We are proud to be partnering up with them and the Hameen Media Group to bring that show to the R&R Podcast Network. We do have another show that is coming to the network that I actually dropped on the upcoming Freaking Hambone show on the Creative Control Network. So I'm not going to drop it here. I gave it to my buddy Hambone as an exclusive. So subscribe to the Freaking Hambone show, which is on the Creative Control Network. And when he releases that episode, you will find out which show is coming to the R&R Podcast Network. I am also proud to announce that RTW Rewind will be dropping a pilot on the Hameen Media Group network feed to see how fans like it and see how it goes. If it works out for them and they're happy with it, they will syndicate RTW Rewind. It won't be leaving this feed, but it will also be featured on the Hameen Media Group media feed. So I do appreciate all your guys' support. That's going to be dropping November 1st on the Hameen Media Group feed. It'll be RTW Rewind. So do me a favor, like, share, and subscribe to that. And I appreciate all your support for that, and we'll see how it goes. Either way, the show will still be here on this feed every single week. I want to thank MSG and Ben for the opportunity. And I'm looking forward to a positive relationship between us moving forward. This week was also a busy week. We dropped our show on RTW Rewind on Tuesday with Marshall and Ross Von Erich. It was a fantastic interview I had with those guys. They are the NMLW Tag Team Champions. I had such a blast talking to them. And we also dropped a bonus show. Six and Ocho from the Grapplers were here to discuss the movie review that we all had to watch, that I was forced into watching, the 1986 classic Rad, as well as our top five enhancement talent, of all time. And then we also tease what's coming up next week, and I did mention earlier, next Thursday will be Who Wants to Be My Best Friend, hosted by Midnight Mike from the Midnight Jury, which is on WLWstudios.com. Mike will be hosting the game show Who Wants to Be My Best Friend. Six and Ocho will be fighting out to the death to vie for my best friendship in what should be the greatest show you'll ever hear in the history of podcasts. But don't forget, tomorrow is part two of my interview with Chad Ian B from the Two-Man Power Trip Empire. Chad is back to put a bow on his two appearances on Get My Go, the amazing YouTube show from Mike Durban, Joe Feeney, and Husey from the Creative Control Network, which can be found on youtube.com/getmygo. Chad was on two episodes of that, and we kind of wrapped that whole thing up, as well as talked about some sports memorabilia and wrestling memorabilia and what Chad does in that field with IB Exclusives. And we talked a little bit about his beginnings as a podcaster. So it's a very, very good show. You guys will enjoy it. The first episode was very well received, and you'll definitely like part two. Enjoy all the shows we have coming again tomorrow with Chad from the Two-Man Power Trip, RTW Rewind on Tuesday, and next Thursday will be the ridiculous show, Who Wants to Be My Best Friend. Enjoy your weekend, guys. I appreciate your support. We'll see you on the next one. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the flagship edition of the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Please follow RTW on Twitter at Red Turtles Pod. You can also send us an email at RedTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We'd like to thank you for all your support. You've been listening to the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast, exclusively here on the R&R Podcast Network.